you were here a couple of months ago, you know that I did a series called Think Different. And it was based on Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And I talked about how we've not to be conformed any longer to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what my thought on it and what my suggestion behind that was is that we need to start to think different. We need to be transformed with renewed patterns of thinking. We need to think different on things. And that's what God wants us to do, to think different. And I talked about how, you know, innovators are people who push the boundaries of what people believe is possible. And so if you look at somebody like Albert Einstein, when he came up with the theory of relativity, people thought he was bonkers. They thought he was full on nuts. But it's true. It came that it was, he proved that it actually is right. And so he pushed the boundaries of what people believed was possible. Similarly with the Wright brothers, when they started talking about flying, and they were like, what? Flying's for birds. We're not meant to fly. If we were meant to fly, we'd have wings. You look at how what they came up with has absolutely changed the world in which we live in. Because they were innovators. They pushed the boundaries of what people believed was possible. And so the cheapskate that I am, when while we were in the States, I was asked to speak and I just shared the first part of that message about thinking different. But in that process, I really felt that God was saying, well, how do you move that on to the next level? And if we're going to think different about stuff, how do we do that? What's the next logical step? And so I picked up on a text that my wife sent somebody else on WhatsApp. So you know what WhatsApp's like, and we won't go into WhatsApp. You'll be glad. But she sent in this text about our Father blowing our minds with new possibilities and pushing the boundaries of what we believe is possible. We need to do that. We need to do that. We need to put in our place, because God the Father wants to blow our minds with new possibilities. He doesn't want us to be caught up in this realm, like what is normal, and think that's it, that there's no more than that, because there is so much more than that. And what we need to start to do is push the boundaries on what we believe is possible. And so when you think about it, is it possible? The most difficult thing that you're thinking about in your life at the moment, is it possible? Can God change that? I ask that as a sincere question. But can he change that? And so let's pray. Father, thank you so much for who you are, for what you've done in our lives this far, and what you're going to do in the future. And we ask now, in the name of Jesus, that you would blow our minds with new possibilities, that you would push the boundaries on what we believe is possible. And I pray that we would start to really understand the scripture where it says, for with God all things are possible. And I ask for insight, understanding, and depth of meaning as to how that relates to your lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at Jeremiah 33, verse 3 in a moment, but I want you to look at Jeremiah 32, verse 17 first. This is a great verse, and this could be your verse for the next while, apart from 33:3, because that possibly could just blow your mind itself. But Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." It's so good. When you think about the reality and what that scene is saying, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you've made the heavens and the earth." You could stop there. So you have made the heavens and the earth. And just think about that. That he created the heavens and the earth. But then it says a good thing there. "By your great power and by your outstretched arm." He made it. It was his choice to make it. He done it deliberately. It wasn't done by accident. And then it says, "Nothing is too difficult for you." Are you caught up at this point in time with difficulties? Situation or situations in your life where you're thinking, "I just cannot see a way through this. It's too difficult. I cannot see a way where this could ever change." Then you look at Jeremiah 32:17. "Nothing is too difficult for you." Are you thinking the way the world does? Are you thinking the way man thinks? That that's impossible? Nothing's impossible for God. And when I say nothing, I mean nothing. No thing is too difficult for God. And if he wants to do it, he'll do it. And sometimes he just likes you to ask him to do those things. Because he loves you. We're never ending love. He's passionate about you. He loves the opportunity to just look at your wee face. And he looks at it and he thinks, "Oh, did a great job there." And he just wants to do good things for you. And so sometimes when we're going through the hard times and it does not seem as if there is any way through it, we just need to say, "Hey, God." Just read back that scripture. "You've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." Well, you know how you created the heavens and the earth? I'm going through this situation and it seems insurmountable to me. I don't know what to do. Can you change it? And he's like, And he may be a wee bit like, "Well, let's see how much you really want this. How persistent will you be in coming to him and saying, God, can you change? Can you change my thinking? Can you blow my mind with new possibilities and help me to push the boundaries on what I believe is possible?" Because that's what he wants to do. And when we look at the next verse we're going to look at, I hope that, well, I don't expect any of us to understand, because I don't think it's understandable. But we'll do what we can to get there. And so Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." Or one other translation says, "I will tell you incomprehensible things." That messes with my thinking. So just because you know what I'm like, I had to just go and to the very basics, and I just looked up incomprehensible. Incomprehensible, great word. And what I called this morning's sermon was "Understanding the Incomprehensible," with a question mark at the end, because incomprehensible means not able to be understood. Not intelligible. indecipherable, incoherent, inarticulate, unintelligible. Those things, it's, I will answer you and I will tell you incomprehensible things which you do not know. So if God's going to tell us incomprehensible things, things that we don't understand, it doesn't make sense. Because with our understanding, we're not going to understand it. However, if he changes our thinking, if he changes how we understand things, if he blows our minds with new possibilities, pushes the boundaries on what we believe is possible, then, and it must be after that, that he'll start to tell us these incomprehensible things. Because he gave us a brain for a reason. Because he didn't just put that in there to fill headspace. Oh, I don't know what to do with that big gap between the ears. I will just put this blob in. It's there for a reason. You're allowed to use it. And we use it for good. But I believe that God wants to increase the capacity of our minds for things of the kingdom. I think he wants to blow our minds with some stuff that he has. So think about the time Jeremiah is a prophet to Israel and Judah. And at this point, Israel has been overtaken by the Babylonians. It has been absolutely sacked by the king of Babylon, who you might have heard of. His name's Nebuchadnezzar, or in VeggieTales, King Nebuchadnezzar, and it's maybe easier to say, it's certainly easier to spell, but King Nebuchadnezzar has just sacked Jerusalem, completely destroyed the place and burnt it down. It's pretty much no longer, it's a mess. And then it says that Jeremiah is confined in the courtyard under the watchful eye of the guard. So he's guarded, the soldiers run about him, he can't really move. And it's kind of like God saying this to him. Don't look at what is present, what is real, and what seems possible to you. Stretch your thinking to the things of God. Jeremiah stood in pretty much in captivity in a city that has just been completely destroyed. Things don't look good. God is starting to talk to him about how he's going to restore Jerusalem. He's going to restore the fortunes of Jerusalem and its people, and Israel and its people. And he stood in a smouldering wreck of a city. Cannot see the woods for the trees. And God tells him that, call to me, I'll answer you. And I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know, or incomprehensible things that you do not know. So, the word there literally means to be cut off, or inaccessible, or fortified. It's a metaphor that's being used in Hebrew for something that is inaccessible to our own minds, hence the rendering incomprehensible. Can you imagine you're stood? You're in that place, everything's smouldering round about you, the desolation. You're a prophet of the Most High God, but you're under the watchful guard of these soldiers. You can't really move. There's no freedom. And God's telling you that he's about to restore the city. He He's about to restore his people. It's going to mess with your thinking a wee bit, isn't it? Because what you see physically and what God is saying spiritually are two completely different things, totally contrasting things. But do you think Jeremiah was caught up in the here and now? Or do you think he was caught up in what God was wanting to show him? Because I don't doubt for one second that Jeremiah believed it. Because our minds are captive to the things of the world. We get caught up in thinking that that's beyond the realms of possibility. Says who? Says us. Listen, if we're going to talk about beyond the realms of possibility, how many people in here have seen somebody sick being healed? About six. There's more than that. Right? And so, how many people here, and I know this is a weird one, but how many people here have prayed for somebody or been there when somebody's been prayed for and saw their leg grow? Who's seen that? So, Nigel, you're the closest. How do you explain that?
It's a real encouragement to your faith, that's for one, because you see that happening in front of you, but it's mind-blowing.
And it's meant to be. Good choice of words. You cannot comprehend that, can you? If you try and think about that logically, it defies logic. Or when we were away, we saw somebody being healed of curvature of the spine. Now, I know that we're good, but we're not that good. I don't have anything that can straighten somebody's spine. I don't have anything that can cause somebody's leg to grow or their misaligned hips to be aligned or whatever it is that happens when it happens. But all I know is that I have saw things that don't make sense. A lot of them. And I continue to see them. And when I see them, I know that every time that God is blowing my mind with new possibilities. Because that which seemed impossible has become possible. How do you explain when somebody has deafness? We've seen it here. And we ask that they be healed in the name of Jesus. We command them to be healed. Or we command the condition to go in the name of Jesus. And it goes. Like, how do you explain that? Because God is doing something that is not logical. It is incomprehensible. But we continually step out in faith, take the risk, and believe that God will continue to do that. It's incomprehensible for the Israelites at this time to believe that God is going to restore Israel from what it's become. And it seems impossible. I know if you're alive and you breathe, which all you do, that you have experienced things that have appeared insurmountable, that you like, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how I'm going to cope with this. So the next time that you experience that, how are you going to confront that? Are you going to confront that the way the world does and just go, this can't change, this can't be fixed? Or are you going to say, okay, God, with your outstretched arm and your power, you created the heavens and the earth. Therefore, I'm asking you that you would do what seems to be impossible. Because I believe wholeheartedly that he can do that.
I think in my experience in the year that I've been here from the 7th of September, I think it's a lot to do with the, in my experience, it's a lot to do with my faith and what I have been taught through here. I mean, for me, it's only my experience, but for me to be sober so long is a big thing, given what I'm going through after college, which has taken time to sort, but it's possible to sort it.
Did it seem possible to you before?
No, it did not.
And so,
I didn't have the courage to go to the right people. What I have to wholeheartedly say, I did think about alcohol, but I had to stop and think where I was going to go next.
But what made you come to the conclusion that that which didn't seem possible could be achievable?
Because there had to be another way out. There had to be. You look at different scriptures that we have looked at here. There is another way out. But it's just taking time to find it.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just not all of us. Not all of us, but for me, it's had to be looking back at my faith.
And so God defies the realms of what we deem as possible.
He hasn't defied me, but he'll deal with those in time.
Okay.
Putting me the way, you know, he'll deal with those in time that's torturing me.
And so you look at it. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate you hearing that. It is incomprehensible that God could restore Israel at that time. But Jeremiah does believe that it's possible, wholeheartedly, entirely. Like, full on, he's committed, he believes God can change it. And sometimes we just need to put the faith into that and believe it. And you're thinking, but John, how do we believe it? Well, how do you believe the stuff that's happened to you already? How do you explain that? But then in 33 verse 6, he says this is what he's going to do in Jerusalem. Behold, I will bring it to health. I will bring to it health and healing. I will heal them, and I will reveal to them an abundance of peace and truth. I will bring to them an abundance of peace and truth. And they're like, peace? Look at the desolation run about us. And God says, I'll heal. I'll bring health and healing, and I'll heal them, and I'll reveal to them an abundance of peace and truth. Know the truth that we understand. God's truth. God's truth defies the realms of what we think is possible. I think healing comes into the incomprehensible bracket. I think deliverance comes into the incomprehensible bracket. Salvation comes in to the incomprehensible bracket. There is a whole load of things. I'll tell you what comes into the incomprehensible bracket for me. Can I be honest? How you can stand at the town square in Cavan and give people tea and coffee and 8 people give their life to Jesus. I don't understand that. There's nothing special about our tea and coffee. It's normal tea and coffee. Do you know, Sharon buys the tea bags, or Karen buys the tea bags, or I buy the tea bags, I buy the coffee. It's just regular coffee. It comes from Amazon. It's nothing special. Do you know, it's no in the tea and the coffee.
But it goes back to faith.
Maybe it does go back to faith, but is it what God is doing? Is God blowing our minds with new possibilities? Of course he is. And so what I want you to do, and how I want you to start thinking is, I want you to start thinking about how God can do what seems impossible. I want you to step into the impossible. Because God has already been doing impossible things in our midst. Not to make us look good. That's not what it's about. But we're his children. Do you know, we use that wee kind of throwaway comment. Know who you are, know what you carry. You need to know who you are. And so you can say to me, I could ask you, who are you? And you can say, oh, my name's George. That's know who you are, that's your name. Then you say, oh, I'm a bus driver. Well, that's know who you are, that's what you do. I've got 3 kids. That tells me, okay, you're a dad. That tells me a wee bit of who you are. But that's what you are. It's not who you are. Who are you? Who are you? And I have to tell you this. You're a child of God. You are a child of God. A precious child. You're an ambassador of Christ. It tells us in Peter that you are chosen, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. That's who you are. Did you know that? But you probably knew that in your head. Do you know that in here? Do you know the depth of what that means? Do you know the belonging that that brings to your life? That alone should blow your mind. Because you know what you've done. And he looks at you and thinks, I think you're wonderful. Because you're redeemed. It's not as if there's a container at the side of you that you can't see that's got all your sins stored in it. And God's saying, well, if you don't behave yourself, I'm going to revert to that. It's gone. That's incomprehensible. That's who you are. You need to know who you are, but you need to then know what you carry. And what you carry is this. You carry the presence of Christ. This is incomprehensible because it tells us in Ephesians that you are blessed, which is good. But you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every. So the time you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, and he came and he indwelt in your life, from that point, you received every spiritual blessing that is in Christ. But we get caught up in trying to understand what that means. You're not really meant to. It's incomprehensible. We're not called to understand that. And so in the next few weeks, what I want us to do is I want us to explore this a wee bit more. So that we start to look beyond. Like, we're not going to be doing physics. I'd done physics for a while at school. It wasn't the most exciting. First year was great. And we did the ticker tape test. And, you know, you put the wee sheet of paper on the back of the wee car. And it rolls down the hill and the dots go on it. And you measure the distance between the dots. And that tells you the velocity of the wee car as it went down the hill. And that's great. We took this special photograph where we checked the velocity of a golf ball when you hit it. Things like that are great. But then we started to get into the really boring stuff. If you're into physics, I love that you are. I'm not. That's why we're all different. And we're different for a reason. That's why we had people like Einstein and not just me. Because he pushed the boundaries of what he believed is possible. And incidentally, he's somebody who, late in his life, acknowledged that there was a God. We need to look beyond what we just think is possible. We need to look at what, okay, God, if you're involved in this equation, then everything's possible. And so what I want you to start thinking is things like, the things that have held you back your whole life. I can't do that because of this. Needs to become, I can do this because of God. Because He's involved. And so there's no equation there that can stump you because God's involved. Now, I'm not talking about walking up to that wall and cutting through it. That's just, what would be the purpose? But then when I say that, I remember hearing a story of a man, and he was in Ukraine, and he'd been invited to speak in a church in Kamchatka. Now, if you know the geography of Russia and the former Soviet Union, Ukraine is quite westerly in comparison with where Kamchatka is. Kamchatka is the very furthest east coast part of what is now Russia. It takes you about 7 days to get across that on a train. And he was due to speak in a church there in 12 hours. His car had packed in a few days before it. And he's like, oh no, what am I going to do? So he paced up and down in his room, believing that God could get him there. And you're thinking, pal, I know somewhere they should put you. You should have left a week ago to get there. And you're still in your house 12 hours before it. Something wrong here. He walked up and down, up and down in his room and prayed and prayed and prayed. And bizarrely, I don't know how this works. I don't really want to know how it works. I just want to experience it. He was walking up and down his room, and then he was in the church in Kamchatka, and he shared his story, his testimony, whatever it was that he brought in that church. And then when he was done, he ended up back in his house in Ukraine. And I'm thinking, is that interstellar travel or what? Do you know? Would you be able to take luggage? They're the things I start to think about. But it completely defies what we think is possible, doesn't it? That, I mean, how many miles are we talking? Several thousand miles. That you just, and you appear. That's like Star Trek. Beam me up, Scotty. Isn't it? I think we call it translated in the book of Acts, where Philip, blot that from the tape, where Philip is speaking to the Ethiopian eunuch, and then all of a sudden it says that he appears in another place. And I remember the first time I read that, and I was like, what? How do you do that? It'd be handy for travelling, wouldn't it? If you could get that for going on your holidays. No big drawn out flights and you just appear wherever you go. That goes against what we believe is possible. But so does a whole lot of things. And so what I want you to start to do is start to think about what's incomprehensible in your life. What is impossible in your life? What is it that you're not able to overcome? You might not be able to overcome, but He can. And so I really want you to start. So no, just think different. But start to kind of pray that God would blow your mind with new possibilities, that he would defy that which you have always believed to be possible. Because that's what it's talking about. It's not as if I've just pulled that piece, that passage, stuck it in a vacuum and said that's what that means. Go away, read chapter 32, read the end of chapter 33, put it into context and see what's happening. God is about to restore Israel. And you're like, haha, you've been funny, have you seen the state of the place? I'm going to bring healing to the land. I'm going to bring health. Everything's going to be great. I'm going to restore my people. Even though, and I think there's a verse in chapter 32 where it talks about how they stood in the high places and they worshipped Baal and they made offerings to Molech and different things, where they sacrificed their children. And I don't just mean as, oh, have my children. They killed them. They worshipped false gods. That's what it's talking about. And he's still saying, I love you. You're my people. And I'm going to restore Jerusalem and Israel to the way it was before. I'm going to bring healing and health and abundance. And that's what God wants to do. He doesn't just want to do it a wee bit. He wants to bring it abundantly. And he wants to completely blow your mind. He wants to defy that logical train of thought that you have on things. He wants to just completely decimate that beyond all recognition. Christopher, can you put up one of the songs that we had on earlier? Are you able to do that? There was one of the songs and it had the green background. I don't know the song. It's a new one. Yeah, that one. So can you scroll through just till we find next one, next verse, next verse. Keep going. Oh, not back, back. There. So do you want to stand? And God wants to completely blow your mind. I think he wants to do that a wee bit this morning in preparation for what it is that he has for his longer term. This is going to take till Tuesday. No, I'm kidding. It could take a while. It might happen right away, and if it does, please let me know. Hopefully I can share in that experience with you. But I think he's blown our minds all the time. But we're talking in a whole new level here. But for him to be able to blow your mind, he needs to deal with some stuff that's there that holds you back. And I don't know this song. And I leaned there, and Charlene leaned over to me this morning. She's like, do you know this song? And I leaned over and I was like, never heard that in my life. And I tried to get a photograph of this, and then they went into the next one. Like, how inconsiderate. I mean, come on. But we sang that this morning, and I just really felt that the Lord was highlighting that. But there are people here, and you are wrapped up in shame. You are ashamed because of what you've been told or how you've been treated in the past, and you're living a life of shame, and that's to stop now. Today, you don't need to leave here the way you came in. And so if you're wrapped up in shame, we want to break the power of that off you right now in Jesus' name. Because the shame is related to an instance or instances that have happened in your past. And you're still carrying that shame because there is hurt in your life. And I'm not trying to make that seem like a small thing. Please don't hear that. But here's what God wants to do. He wants to go back to that place or those places where you were made to feel ashamed. And he wants to heal you of that. So that you don't need to carry that shame with you anymore. It's time for that to go. Let's put it to bed once and for all and no bring it up ever again, because it's no got any significance in your life anymore. It doesn't cause you hurt. It doesn't cause you pain. It doesn't define who you are anymore, because there is shame in your life that defines who you are. And I believe wholeheartedly that God wants to take that from you right now. So that's one thing. Then, and the words of this are perfect. Then you've been told that you don't measure up. You've been told you're worthless. Who do you think you are? You are a nobody. You're never, ever going to be anything or anybody. You've been told you don't measure up. And again, the Lord wants to take that from you right now. Because you do measure up. You might not measure up in their eyes. Their eyes is not what's important. It's God's eyes. And you measure up. Because when he died on the cross for you, he died on the cross for you, and he measured you up like that. And he took everything upon him so you don't have to. And so when you've been told you don't measure up, here's what you need to do this morning. This will be hard. You need to forgive the person or the people who told you you don't measure up. Like, get it done. Once and for all, finished. And then, again, it has no power over your life anymore. It no longer can define who you are. And forgiving that person or those people won't always be easy. I know that. And I speak from experience. But there is freedom. And that might seem incomprehensible to you right now, but there is. And then lastly, you've been told you're not good enough. I have one question related to that again. In whose eyes? Because you're good enough for him. You are good enough for God. And he's the author and creator of the universe. And if you're good enough for him, what does it matter what anybody else thinks? And so, and I know this hurts. I know that it's sore. And you feel it deep down in here, and there's part of you thinking, how can I ever get rid of this? You can get rid of this right now. But it takes effort on your part. And you need to say, okay, no more. I will not be defined by shame. I will not be defined by what other people have told me all my life. And I will not be defined by how other people have tried to measure me up against anybody else. That's what the world does. That's not what God does. Because he looks at you and he thinks, ah, do you know when I died on the cross for you, I took away your sin, but I took your guilt and your shame as well. You don't need to wear it like a cloak anymore. Who do you need to measure up against? And he tells you, you need to just measure yourself up against me and what I have for your life. And when you realize what I have planned for your life, you never need to be jealous of anybody else ever again. And then, lastly, you're not good enough. And Jesus looks at you and he says, you're good enough for me. That's why I died for you. And so if there is even an ounce of any of that stuff in your life, and you know, you might feel it hurting and it might be sore right now, but you're like, well, no, I'm actually all right today, but oh, 4 weeks ago on Tuesday, I was rough. Well, if you were like that whenever, you need to deal with it and get it done, because it doesn't define you. But that kind of thing is holding you back from being where God wants you to be, because you are believing the lie that other people and the enemy have told you, and God wants to reveal to you his truth. And that seems beyond the realm of understanding for you right now. But he wants to change that. And so I'm going to encourage you, if you do feel like that, I'm going to ask you in a couple of minutes to remain standing, and that we get the chance to minister to you and break the power of that stuff in your life once and for all, that it's gone. You don't need to be shaped by what someone else has told you, with the lies and the hatred that they have spoken into your life. And I've said this before, but what other people think about you is none of your business. What God thinks about you is entirely your business. And he thinks you're smashing. He thinks you are absolutely awesome. And he looks at you and thinks, ah, there you are, my sweet child. You're the apple of my eye. I love you. Because he is love. He invented the thing. And he loves you. And no matter what you do, or what you say, and how many times you do it, he still loves you. And there is nothing you can do that will ever stop him loving you. And you need to know that. And that's the truth.